Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello and welcome back to Higher Priestess. I'm Persephone.
And I'm Erin.
And today we're talking all about boundaries.
Interpersonal condoms and what to do when they break.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
I love
that. By J.K. Rowling.
That is hilarious.
Starring Eddie Redmayne and whoever else in that film.
I'm really excited for this one, as usual.
As usual, guys. I can't stop being excited.
Your two favourite podcasters.
Talking about.
But we are.
They're not around, actually. We tried to get them as guests, but they actually didn't want to have anything to do with us.
It's just us today.
So, we're talking about boundaries.
This is a big thing at the moment, I think. Yeah. I think it's slowly, like, a word that more and more people are thinking, oh, yeah, I like the sound of that.
It's kind of an Instagram thing.
It really is,
like,
yeah.
I'm protecting my space, and protecting my energy, which is
just
us.
Just bringing out that toxic energy.
Which is our brand.
You're just toxic.
You are just toxic. The taste like, of us. Your lips, I'm on a ride with the lyrics. You're toxic, and I'm slipping under.
Fully slipping under, though.
Oh, slipping under the rug.
That's why I think everyone's drawn to this boundaries concept, because it's like, yeah, I'm fully slipping under. If you can give me something that has a cute little name, boundaries, and I can put that into my everyday life.
Oh, just give me a reason that I can stay home and watch Netflix. And guys, I did actually set a boundary, so I can't come out tonight.
Stunning.
Isn't that it, though? It's like, give me
that
a reason that I can
gorgeous.
Stay home.
Yeah, I love that.
Thanks.
That is divine.
Oh, so divine. We're a bit weird.
I think also what makes boundaries such the, like, buzzword that it is because everybody wants them, but no one knows how to do it. Because it's almost like, well, I'm really great that those boundaries are working for you, but that could never work for me in my relationships.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a bit too complicated for me. Like, my family, my boyfriend, I mean, that would just never work.
It's like, I can't actually cut them off, but I can, like,
It's like, realistically, I can't actually set the boundaries, but I appreciate the idea, Instagram, thanks.
Yeah, it sounds great until you actually have to do it, because it's, like, quite uncomfortable to be like, actually, I'm going to stop engaging in a behaviour that I've been doing for ages.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like, I don't like how that person is treating me. I know that's bad, but I love them.
Oh God, I can't wait to get into this one.
Oh, me too. It's going to get good. When I think about boundaries, I kind of think about a thing that me and you have been talking to each other about quite a lot recently, which is, like, self-narrating and, like, sharing with intention.
Oh,
which is
it.
What we've been kind of speaking about in our own personal lives. Which you guys can't hear about.
Beyond the Higher Priestess conversations.
Beyond our 3-hour
conversation. Human conversations.
We speak all day, every day, and many things come up. It's not all business. Yesterday on the phone, we spoke for about 45 minutes.
Did I speak to you on the phone yesterday?
Yeah, for ages.
Oh,
and do you know
God,
what we did? We analysed in detail every point of Rupert Grint's career.
Of course we did. Of course we did.
We were like, well, the problem with what he did is he didn't wait long enough.
But I also quite like that the end of our phone calls were always very abrupt. Right, I've got to go now. Bye, thanks. Thanks so much. I just wanted to hear your voice. Right, see you later.
Yeah, we always start phone calls with, I just want to hear your voice.
Right, 2 hours later. Okay, thanks. Got my fix. Bye.
It's like, we've worked through what Emma Watson did right, what Rupert Grint did slightly wrong.
Love
Daniel
it.
Radcliffe, what's he doing right now? We've gone through the whole cast.
We've actually come to quite a settled conclusion. I think that they're all doing all right.
Yeah, they're doing fine. We worked out that Rupert Grint's got this, like, long-term girlfriend who's Georgia from
Angus Thongs.
And we've decided we're happy for him.
And that works for me. As long as you're happy, Rupert.
We're happy
that's
for you.
That's fine by me.
We fully love you. But that's what we did yesterday. So that was our day yesterday. Day well spent. learned.
And now today, you're getting it.
But that's something that we were speaking about, not Rupert Grint's career, but we were talking about the idea of self-narrating and sharing with intention.
Yeah, so what do you mean by that?
So for me, a boundary that I've been kind of working building. On. Yeah, I think something that, or that a boundary that people don't really look at is how much of yourself that you're giving away to people that don't use that info how you want them to use it.
I am just sorry, I have to interrupt by saying I'm so happy. Every time we do these conversations, they just go in a way that I didn't... I'm so glad. I just didn't think that you were going to say that. And now it's like, oh, I can't wait for this combo.
What did you think I was going to say?
I just didn't even think of that.
A boundary is a split between 2.0.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Okay, yeah. So I've definitely... That's something we've spoken loads about.
Yeah. Because it's kind of our topic of the moment.
Oh, 100%. Because it ties in with vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And we're so like, okay, well, you have to be vulnerable in order to get what you want. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to give everything to everyone at all given times.
Which is such a weird thing, because I feel like vulnerability, or like sharing your truest self, was such a thing of like 2019. Was like the year of like vulnerability, surrender, like definitely just like be vulnerable to life. Like blah blah blah, and now we're all kind of realizing be vulnerable, but also like don't be too vulnerable, because that will get used against you.
Yeah, be careful 100%. Who too.
Yeah, be fully yourself, be fully open to certain people, but don't give that to everyone.
So what
my advice?
Yeah, so what made you think that you needed to think about introducing new boundaries?
I think recently there've just been a few instances where things that I've shared with people, I haven't really been thinking critically about that. I've just been like, just be vulnerable, just tell people what's going on in your life. And now it's a bit like, oh,
people
shit.
Close to you.
Yeah, yeah. And not just people that it's kind of like, just those people that you chat to about things. You're like, oh yeah, I was thinking this the other day, blah, 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 blah. And then they've used that against me in some way.
Mm.
Just kind of people all around the world doing things
yeah,
like that.
People taking log of everything that you're
saying. And it's a bit like, oh, okay, actually now if going forward, I'm thinking critically about who I share with and what I share with them.
Definitely.
And I think I highly recommend.
Well, there's definitely a balance to be struck, because I've definitely had it in the past where I have my boundaries have been too strong.
Yeah, yeah, you don't want it the other way. You don't want to never open up.
And I'm not really, I'm not really someone that opens up very easily.
Oh, I'm the opposite.
Yeah, whereas you are the opposite. And I think a balance between the two of us is quite a good mix. Maybe some of you will be that perfect balance that we just can't seem to get.
We can't, you're just like arms folded. I'm kind of like, tell me everything. Thing is also, I think it's difficult because speaking just from my own life, I bond with people over open conversation.
Yeah, like shared trauma. Well,
That's the only thing I connect with almost.
Defo. But my thing is, I know I'm not going to tell you mine, so I'm just going to listen to yours. Like, you will think I'm an incredible listener, and that's fine by me. That's the role that I'll take on, and I will feel close to you, and you will definitely feel close to me because you've been
nodding along.
Yeah, you've been able to confide in me. Mm. So nothing's lost between us, except for you've never really seen the real me.
But I don't love that, because I like it in a protect your energy way, but I also think, does that cut off certain closeness?
100%. It cuts off almost... it's not even about, I think, in my personal experience, it was never about cutting off like a closeness between a relationship. It was more on a personal level. If you're not looking or you're not willing to open up to anybody, for why?
Yeah.
Why? Because you have a right to open up. I almost felt like, and still now, I'm really selective with who I tell what. And even like people close to me, I will still...
be in control of your narrative.
100% be in control of my narrative. And it's almost because part of it is like, okay, well, I'm inherently feeling like a burden already, just talking.
I can't stand that.
Like, can't relate.
It's like, I just can't stand that for you.
But beyond that, it's like, well, yeah, you have a voice and you should use it. And also, that's part of a relationship, as a two-way thing of not just confiding, but, you know what I mean, being that other person.
Yeah, the listener.
Yeah.
That's the thing I was... Oh, who was
But
this?
There's a balance.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, as I do, 24/7.
The Higher Priestess podcast.
I was listening to Higher Priestess. It's a great podcast. I think it was actually Mukundwa.
Yeah. I said what I said.
And she was saying that in conversations is an episode, it's called like How to Communicate Better in 2020.
Love it.
I think that was actually exactly the title.
Word for word.
Word for word.
You
exactly
said what you said.
Yeah, I said what I said, guys. So she was saying that when you're in a conversation and you use an anecdote to like match their anecdote, someone say, oh, so yeah, I fell over the other day, rather than going, oh, okay, and what was that like for you? You go, oh my God, I fell over the other day. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you think that's communication, but actually it's just like, what did that add?
Well, it adds something, because then you show that you can match their anecdote with a similar anecdote, and two people who have been through a similar experience can share something on a communal level. And I actually think there's a problem with people. I think we think, okay, well, all of these boundary posts on Instagram are full of like, this is what you should say. You should say, I hear you, I respect you, I'm listening to you.
Like stiff language.
And how did that make you feel? When you fell over, how did that make you feel? I'm here for you. Where sometimes you do want someone to say, I fucking fell over the other day. God, that was embarrassing. Anyway.
No, I completely agree.
And I think also it encourages, it's definitely true, and we've said this before in our 2 hour conversations, not about higher presence.
2 hours, that's a short one. Honestly.
Where we say, we make note, or at least just under, we see it, we notice when someone is constantly saying I, starting every conversation with I.
It does stick out like a sore thumb.
Like an absolute
like
sore thumb.
The sore
like
thumb is the I. Yeah, literally.
And that is obviously something, and I think obviously with social media and just the way that we communicate now is changing so much, and we are and can be incredibly like self-centered creatures, but I don't think there's anything wrong with someone matching an anecdote. I think there's a time and place, and I think in some cases that definitely works, and in some places it doesn't. And I think it's naive to say that that is the wrong thing to do overall.
No,
because sometimes that's perfect, and that's exactly what that person needs.
I completely agree, and I do it as well, matching the anecdotes. But yeah. I think that there's something
well, everyone
about
does it because it's how to communicate.
But it's also how not to communicate. Like, have you ever been in a conversation with someone and you say, "Oh my God,
I'm going through this thing."
Yeah, I'm just going through this thing at the moment, and they say, "Oh my God, I'm going through that thing as well." And it's like you step past the bonding thing, because it's like you might even know that information already. You're close friends if you're sharing this thing, but you're just matching.
And now it's a battle.
But it's not even the battle. It's like, what are we adding? Like, the conversation is exactly the same. We're just going in circles. Each anecdote is just telling the same thing over and over again. It's just like, all we're doing is that we have the same experience. We're not adding anything. Unless your anecdote can add something new.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think a lot of the time, or I think sometimes at least, and I think this is the danger of that narrative of being like, don't do this. And then everyone starts thinking, God, well, everyone does that.
And also it's like, it's all conversation.
Yeah, yeah, that is also a huge part of communicating and knowing how to communicate effectively is understanding the emotion that someone is bringing you and understanding the scenario and being able to match that and offer something. And I think often you are offering something because it's not, I totally agree. Everyone's been in that situation where you're holding up a story and it's immediately taken away from you and replaced with, well, my story is blah, blah, blah. And I think that is 100% a thing, not arguing with that. But I think there's like an undercurrent of this narrative of like, well, you need to say it. I validate
the rules.
You.
The rules of conversation, which are completely stiff. It's
blurred,
like, do you remember that thing? It was like a meme that I remember I had to message you and say, what does this meme mean? And it was someone like replying to a text and it went viral, but it's like, I have no time for you at the moment. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah, it was like, it's the meme that says, are you in a position to receive information that could potentially harm you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Me, like, I can't, whatever I said, completely wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, that meme, it's almost like, it's like, don't ever use prescribed language because it's going to sound fucking stiff and like you're not human. You're going to sound like
totally
a robot.
That's totally it. And as much as we now are going to talk to you about boundaries, I don't know your personal connections and your personal dynamics of your relationships.
Yeah.
And in some situations, it's great to say, I fell over. Yeah, I fell over too. And in some situations, it's great to say, I fell over. Okay, how did that make you feel? Or, you know, what do you need from me in this scenario?
I would just say with that one, the matching anecdote thing.
Yeah.
All that is
all
just...
that can be.
Huh?
All that can be.
What does that mean?
Because I don't think it's all that is. Because it's so
different. That story from Mukundwa.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what she was getting at is...
Well, I'm sure I agree as well.
Well, who wouldn't agree with me? She's a genius.
Exactly, yeah.
But I think what's going on there is it's just saying, like, be critical with your communication. Like,
yeah.
Why do you feel the need to share? I'm the queen of sharing. the high priestess of sharing.
Yeah.
But I think be critical about why you're sharing that. Do you just want to speak to speak? Or do you want to speak to share? What's going on here? Or speak to answer their thing? Like, why are you...
100%.
Why are you opening your gob right now?
Yeah.
When you should be opening yours?
Yeah. Is that like, game? Is there a payoff for you? Is there a payoff for somebody else?
And if it's like mutual connection, that's the reason to do it. Mm. But don't do it for, oh my God, I have the same story. No, we just heard that story though. Like, we're done with that story. Yeah. Like, we're moving on.
I think there's also, I love that. And I think that really ties into something that I was thinking about when I was thinking about boundaries. When I was thinking about boundaries.
Love it, yeah.
In my experience with boundaries, and I think also something that, I just think this is the crux of the issue with boundaries, is boundaries, most of the time, are your boundaries between the rest of the world. But your boundaries and your understanding of your boundaries will be different from the rest of the world's understanding of their boundaries. So for example, my boundary could be, okay, well, I mean, this is obviously going to be, this is just a hypothetical, I'm dressing up to be extreme for the sake of the example.
Love it.
My boundary between you and I could be, okay, well, I want to speak to Sefi.
Why did you laugh?
I know it's funny that you're Persephone.
Oh, yeah, if anyone's confused about my name.
I kind of have, like, as if that's your pet name. That is your official nickname, by the way, and I'm not hearing any other.
My official birth name, Persephone.
That's stunning.
That's on the birth certificate, guys.
Iconic.
You can't argue with the documentation. Then I just have many nicknames coming off that name.
Alter egos.
Honestly, I can't move for personalities. I don't know who I am. But Erin.
But when you're with me, you're Sefi.
Yeah, I'm Sefi, but also Persephone. It's just a formal thing. I have also many others. If you know me from school, you're confused. Let's just move on.
So my boundary with you could be, okay, well, I want to see Sefi on Monday, Tuesday, and that's it. And I'm going to cut everything else because that's my boundary and that's what I need for my mental health.
Well, I'm angry at that.
Well, exactly. No, immediately, you're thinking, well, I need my four-hour conversation. I need my this, I need my that.
What do you mean? I just need to hear your voice on a Saturday.
And that's your boundary.
First thing, my weekend routine. Hello.
I just wanted to hear your voice.
No, it's not I want to. I need it.
No, fully. I honestly just needed to. And sometimes I'm like, I don't have anything to say. I just don't want you to hang up.
We clearly... Well, we clearly...
I'm brushing my teeth on the phone saying, sorry, but please don't hang up.
What makes me laugh when we're on the phone is every now and then one of us will go, sorry, you'll hear me weeing.
And then you go, sorry, you'll hear me flush.
But no one even
But that might be too much for the boundary.
Yeah, I mean, maybe some would say my boundary is I'm not going to wee on the phone to you.
Well, there you go. But that's the thing. Surely with boundaries, when they're between, you know, two or more people, surely one is always going to be in compromise.
Yeah, because what are the chances that they're going to match?
Exactly that. So how does that work? For example, in my experience, whenever I think of boundaries, there's always one person in particular that I think it would be really good to activate some boundaries. Right about now.
Big boundary button.
I'm like, boundaries come in, like, hand to headset.
You're like, I need a big interpersonal.
This is your cue.
Interpersonal condom.
Like, reaching in my back pocket for my interpersonal condom.
Honestly, interpersonal condoms. It's the new
concept,
guys.
You just need
it. It's the concept.
Because my idea of boundaries, just my idea of life, is very different to this person's. But, oh, I don't know how strong I can be. This person is pretty much in my family circle. You don't know who it is. You're thinking of someone else.
I literally nodded like, uh-huh, got it.
No,
completely wrong.
I've spoken about this person before in a podcast and said it's like, when I'm with this person, they are drowning in their insecurities and they're using my head and pushing me under.
The best analogy of all time.
That is just the visual. It's like, I'm like, spluttering.
And she's like, get down
there. Where's my fucking condom?
Literally.
And yeah, I'm just being absolutely...
Drowned alive.
Drowned alive.
It's not what you want.
So, and I think this is also... I mean, there's loads of things coming in now, but especially with family, that is so difficult to navigate because obviously everybody's situation is totally different. And yeah, there's no prescriptive like rule book. There's no guide. Maybe we should make a guide.
How to set boundaries. How to create your own. How to purchase your own interpersonal condoms. And how to find them.
Yeah. use where whatever, to, like a 50 pack.
How to find them or where to find. Oh no, I'm and thinking
where
of.
To, you're thinking fantastic, but you said where to find them.
Again, God, it's just in my mind. It's in. I literally watched 10 minutes of that film and thought, not for me.
It's not canon.
No, that's not canon at all. So go on, I want to hear the story of this person.
Honestly, I don't have the time to tell the whole story. It would be a whole other podcast in itself.
And it would also be the most scandalous podcast.
Oh, 100%. It's the adventures of...
blank, blank.
Yeah, it was just crazy. Anyway, I mean, a long list, years and years and years, piling up, just piles and piles. Honestly, can't move for drama. And I don't like drama at all.
I like it when I'm not in it. I love...
Yeah, it's nice to watch.
Well, I like to get... What is in BBC dramas? They're nice to watch every now and then. If you saw Dr. Foster, it's nice to watch. No, I like drama unravelling when I'm not in it. If I can step away from it, I hate drama in my family, I hate drama in my friendship groups, but drama that's happening to sort of on my periphery.
My drama with my family.
I love your family drama. Get me the popcorn.
For example.
Yeah,
years and years and years of drama, basically, and years of the whole drowning thing. Mm. And it got to a point where a huge outburst happened, not from my part, on her, mm-hmm. on their end. I'm slipping, but
yeah.
I'm not disclosing any information.
Person will not be.
You're treading what do they so say on carefully. Is there,
like, any resemblances to... yes. This is totally fiction. Anything that resembles your real life is completely coincidence.
Yeah, love it.
Piled up. Obviously, you know, just this whole thing blew out of proportion. And from then, we were cut off, ghosted, boom. Neither of us are talking. Blocked on everything.
You both ghosted one another.
Well, she just went...
Both died and turned into ghosts at the same simultaneously.
Yeah, she just went absolutely, like, off, off. She went off. Sis went off.
Off the grid.
She fully went off. And so I just thought, yeah, I'm out of here.
Sis went off. It's like, I've never heard it before.
And I'm dusting. I'm out of here. Yeah. Like a light. To be honest, you know those situations where, and maybe you've been on the other end of them, where someone is looking for they're clutching at any reason to not be involved with you anymore? That was me.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah, any argument. And she just had this whole thing at me and I thought, perfect. Now I can escape you.
Yeah.
And I did for years, actually. And it worked really, really well. Until then, later on, things popped up again. But overall, my idea of boundaries and my idea of life is very different to that person's. And yet, what do I do? Because at weddings and funerals, God forbid, and births and parties and life events...
What births are you both showing up to? You're both literally there.
The birth of Christ, i.e. Christmas.
Oh, the birth. The birth. His birth. With a capital H.
But all of those moments where you know you're tied to someone, presumably for life, it's not a good thought.
No.
And it's very difficult.
And then you cut that person off, like, productively.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. So we'll come back to that cutting off productively, because I love that. But my whole thing
with
that...
Gotta be productive these days.
Honestly, busy, busy, busy.
This business.
Meeting after meeting after meeting.
Honestly, everyday meeting.
I knew at some point I had to draw the line with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And I had known... to be honest, the whole time I'd known them, ever since I met them, I thought, how am I going to get out of this one?
Oh, hi, I'm blank. Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
You're going to be a problem for me.
Yeah. And we actually have a situation on our hands now.
Literally. It really was a huge... It bothered me, and it started disrupting my daily life, and I think that is when you know something needs to change. Either you're just going to get on with a miserable life and never live to be happy.
Mm.
You're just living for somebody else.
Yeah.
Or you actually just, you know, you do something and you actually make the change and, as a consequence, live a better life. And I thought, I have to do that. So I got rid.
Nice.
I was going to say never to be seen again. I actually haven't seen them since. This person now is very much like, I've moved on. The situation has moved on. I'm totally a better person now. They've basically come forward and said, I was incredibly toxic to be around.
Oh, love that.
I've changed so much. I'm a whole new person. I'm so deeply sorry for everything. Please can we move forward?
And you're saying, but silently shaking your head.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
So now I'm still doing the thing of, okay, well, I want to avoid you. But in my mind, outwardly, I'm saying, yeah, okay, great. But inwardly, I know.
Not going to happen.
I don't believe a word of it. Yeah, and it's not going to happen. So how do I navigate? I'm posing this to you now, apparently. But I think it's a difficult one because it's like... On levels, yeah. First of all, I've fucked it up by not going with rule one, communicate effectively.
But I don't think you do need to communicate effectively, even though obviously, I think obviously it goes without saying communication does solve most everything. Issues.
Yeah.
But with this sort of thing, just read, let her read the fucking subtext. You're saying, yeah, sure, would be great to meet you at some point. You're not giving a date, just let her work it out that you don't want to, because sometimes it's not worth having this huge conversation where you're like being completely honest, like, thing is, you are just still toxic, I don't believe you, blah, 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 I've moved on with my life. Like, that's a difficult convo to have. It's almost easier. You've set the boundary, almost you don't need to communicate it with her.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think, I would never really, and we really don't use the word toxic, like, I would never just sweep someone, like, tarnish them with the brush of toxicity, because we think
there's
it's unfair.
There's so much more to the idea of toxic relationships. Yeah. Obviously, if someone's abusive, they're toxic.
Yeah, exactly. But then they're abusive. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the language. I would never normally say, okay, you're toxic, so I'm not dealing with you anymore. But it is that thing of like, okay, well, you've, for years and years and years of my life, poured in nothing but like hatred and shit and negativity. Yeah. And what, now I'm supposed to come to you and be a grown up with a great little, analysis of the events and say, I'm really sorry to leave you with this, but I'm not interested, and come, with a fully communicated...
An essay.
Thesis.
Yeah, no, thank you.
No, actually, I can't be bothered, so fuck you.
Yeah, it's almost like, how long? I always think this, how long does someone have to pay for their actions? And almost with this, it's like, no, the expiry date isn't up yet. Like, I'm still working through the things that you caused me. Mm. So you've come a bit early, actually, for me to turn around and, like,
it's like, oh, actually, I wasn't expecting you until in about 10 years' time when I was having a baby.
Yeah, it's like, actually, this wasn't... You're not scheduled in. You're out of sync, mate. Yeah. Like, stop. No.
Yeah, sorry, I haven't actually voted you in for this year. You're not in this decade.
I'll try and pencil you in somewhere. Yeah. No. Just, it's all written in pen. It was printed out. It's laminated. Don't change your schedule.
Yeah, I actually think that's it. I think when someone has given you nothing but shit, I actually think it's fine to turn around and be like, my boundary is ghosting, and that's just what it's going to be.
I've got a boundary, and you don't get the privilege of knowing it. It's communicating productively.
Yeah, and I might leave you with a little piece of like, well, this is what's happened, so this is what I'm going to do. Mm. Thanks. Hope you have a great time. Like, a nice civility.
Yeah.
But
you don't need to be vulnerable. You don't need to go in again with, oh, sorry, I'm still healing from what happened, blah, 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 blah. Now they know shit and you know their personality and they're going to use it against you when they're feeling wounded again. Like, no.
Or like all those years that they've had with you and now what, they get an extra half an hour of you drafting up a text in your notes to send them and then worry about for an extra 2 days.
Yeah, consulting people. Should I send this? No.
How much more of your life are you going to give them access to?
None.
Get the condom on.
Yeah, honestly, get the condom on.
Get the condom on, it's over. So I had in my notes... a little question to myself. Do boundaries come with self-respect and, like, growth? Like, as I've got older, I've definitely learned what my boundaries are and how to put them into practice. And I think it is actually a link to that age-old thing of, like, oh, well, I don't want it. It's embarrassing to ask him to put a condom on.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Isn't it? And then as you get older, it's like, put that fucking condom on, you disgusting boy. He's like, don't go anywhere near me with that thing.
Literally that. Yeah. I think that it's basically learning. It's just learning your own worth with a boundary, with any kind of boundary, whether that be a latex boundary or a big dowel. Or a metaphorical boundary between you and I. It's learning, oh, actually, that what I did there didn't make me feel good. Like, that made me feel bad.
And now it's okay for me to say no.
Yeah, because I've learned my worth. I have some understanding of human worth.
Well, and it's also like the experiences that I've been through, or those instances where I've had my vulnerability then used against me. It's like, okay, well, now I know to further progress in my life, I'm going to prevent those experiences from unfolding again, because now I know I need to have the boundary, I need to have the condom on.
How long do you reckon you've known the... this is just such a question. So I've only just worked out the whole don't share with everyone thing. How long have you been doing that? Because I really think I've only worked that out, like, in the last few months.
Oh, my God. I mean, we wanted to do a whole podcast on this, but this is the first thing that I thought of when you just said that to me. And I was going to say my whole life. And then I thought of, remember that time we had a conversation about, you know what I'm going to say?
No, I've got no idea.
But me and you and I, had a conversation about when our parents divorced and we were around the same age, about 11 years old.
I love this. Yeah. Look, don't love the divorce.
I love that for you.
Oh, your parents divorced when you were 11?
That's so amazing.
Did mine.
11 years old, both of us, and we didn't know each other. We were like across the country, whatever.
Yeah. Two little sad 11-year-olds. Aww. Little did we know.
Little did we know that we would just be discussing that scenario today. How funny.
Yeah.
But when that happened to me with my parents divorced, I didn't really tell anyone. I told my friends.
The opposite.
Yeah, I told my friends kind of like slowly, like kind of if my parents came up like a month later. I told like my best friends, I think, like two girls or whatever. Yeah. And I had like a big group of friends, good friends.
But you were protecting your trauma.
I guess I was protecting my trauma. It depends on what way you look at it. Whereas you went into school the next... said the first thing I thought when my parents told me they were getting a divorce was, I can't wait to get attention from this.
Yeah, genuinely. And I genuinely went in the next day. They were never married, so it was just a basic split.
Yeah.
But I literally thought, I was crying my eyes out, but I did think, oh, fuck, I'm going to milk this. And I went into school because it happened over...
Such a Capricorn.
It's like, oh, I'm going to monetize this.
Yeah. This is my story time.
Yeah, I know.
It's like 2007. You're like, story time, not clickbait.
Yeah, my stars triggering. Yeah, but I was genuinely like, okay, I'm going to capitalize off this and get some like, get some social cred.
To get some sympathy. Yeah.
So I went into school. It happened over the...
Vote.
Yeah, honestly.
I'm going to go on X Factor.
I thought it was. I thought I was going to hit the big time. But it happened over the summer of like year 5 to year 6 or something. I think it was that. And I went in and I was saying it left, right, and centre. I was like, in my head, I was talking the town. It's like, my parents split up. People were like, we don't believe you. I was like, ask them, it's true. Like, I was, honestly, I was like, here we go, this is my moment. But I was also incredibly sad.
Like, yeah, you had genuine feelings about
it. Yeah, it was a very, very awful time. But it was also like, I'm going to get attention. Because what happens now is you get attention when this happens. And attention is my thing.
That's my Leo the mood. furthest thing.
So that kind of feeds into our communication styles that you 100%. Very much, and our boundary styles.
And just our coping mechanisms.
Literally, oh my god, yes.
Yeah.
Yours is go internal.
Mine is internal and also monitor everyone around me. My first thought was, okay, amazing, my mum is going to be happy, finally my dad can be happy. Like, okay, great, this is going to be good for you. You can both go off and learn. Like, this is going to be good.
Really?
Yeah, genuinely. I remember saying, okay, this is like the happiest day of my life. Like, I'm finally happy that you've both come to a point where you can communicate and be honest with one another. And I'm just happy, I'm looking forward to, obviously I had no idea the turmoil that would prevail after that. It was actually like...
It was actually the beginning of the end.
But I thought it was the beginning of like
happy days.
Yeah,
happily ever after.
Yeah, it wasn't, but whatever, doesn't matter.
We're gonna get into this fully. But also that's so interesting because that is so your personality. To monitor that
Libra thing.
It's just like, keep the balance, keep the peace. Whereas mine was, I don't think they even occurred to me, my parents, as people with human emotions.
Well, you were a child as well.
No, but I think it was fully centered around my experience and how I could capitalize from this experience.
Yeah, so you have been sharing with others from a very young age.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
age. Because I don't, as you say, like, when did you realise that you shouldn't share everything with everyone? I don't think that's a conscious, I mean, now it is, because we're obviously being self-aware and, like, trying to be critical and progress or whatever, develop ourselves. But I think as a child and, like, in your youth and just in your deep internal, like, cognitive workings of your being, I don't think that's something that you think about when it's to do with how you cope with things. I think it's only as you get older and you grow and you learn and you deal with different experiences that you can pinpoint what your coping mechanisms are. And how much or how little where you share with people.
And where that's learned from. Because I remember, it just sort of came to me then, when my parents split up, the first thing I did, got on the phone to my friend, dialed her phone, her home phone number, like, to her mum, like, her mum's house.
Can I speak to him?
Can I speak to you? And I just said, my parents have split up. And she said, okay. And I just put the phone down. Then she rang back a few seconds later. And I could hear her mum in the background being like, ask her if she wants to come around. She's like, do you want to come around? I'm like, no. Does she want you to come to us? Do you want to come to mine? No. Bye. Yeah. Weird fucking...
Yeah.
It's like, let's spread this round.
Well, that kind of is life when you're 11.
It is life when you're 11, but it's also, it's the opposite of go into my room, make sure mum's okay, monitor everyone and internalise and think inwards. Mine was very much project outwards.
Also, you're the oldest and I was an only child. So I wonder if, I think actually something to maybe other only childs will maybe get, I mean, everyone could maybe understand what I'm saying, hopefully. I'm not that, like, I can't articulate myself at all. In that, I think when you're an only child, and I was just raised around, obviously, I had, like, a large family, and I had cousins and people my age, but I was largely around people who were generations older than me.
Yeah.
And I think you learn, not just from a young age, that you don't have anyone on your level to speak to, but beyond that, you learn that, you just learn to communicate like an adult from a very, very, very young age, and you process things like an adult, because it's all you see.
Yeah, you're not hanging around with people that are running around
I'm not running around with 11-year-olds.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah, but I think it is that, I think part of it is, I think maybe the reason of why I'm not a big sharer, and I am, like, you know, the innings of my life.
Is, this is what I mean by selective sharing, selective communication. Only
it's not conscious.
No, but it's like you open up to the people that you know
it's safe.
Are not gonna fucking use it against you.
Yeah, I only open up when it's safe to do so.
Whereas I'm shouting this shit around town.
I think both of us have our...
Basically, that, as we said at the beginning,
find
the
sweet spot.
Find the sweet spot.
Find the G spot.
Honestly, don't do what either of us do. Take our advice, don't follow our behaviours.
Yeah, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, honestly, that. So I think with boundaries and stuff, so now we're at the point where we know that your vulnerability, you don't always share with everyone. Yeah, okay. Mm. Share with the people you trust, don't share with everyone. Every Tom, Dick and Harry.
Yeah.
But what about when you're excited about something? Because this is the thing that you kind of pointed out, oh, okay, you're sharing with the wrong people because they're using it against you to me.
Or
because,
in the wrong way.
Yeah, I'm almost, because I share very much everything with my close friends.
Very
and with
explicitly.
Just, yeah, very explicitly. I'm really excited or I'm really upset because this specific thing happened, this is how it made me feel, blah 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 blah. I'm not talking their ears off, but I do when
you leave
are...
nothing to the imagination.
I don't own my narrative. I tell every aspect, and I think that's also, I do have really close friendships with people, and I think that's partly why, but it's also, it doesn't mean you should share every moment with every person. And I think the problem recently with my communication is that I've been sharing the good things too much, and people love to take down good things.
I love it.
What are your thoughts?
I just love that you are, like, I just love the self-development. I love the progress. Like, I love that you're, like, aware of... Do you know what I mean?
I'm a self-aware girl.
Yeah, you really are.
No, but it is that thing, though, that when you're sharing the bad things, people connect. Sharing the good things, the wrong person will tear down.
Well, there's a difference between being vulnerable and oversharing.
Oh, my God.
That's
really.
Just it.
Yeah.
Because you can still be vulnerable. I'm still vulnerable in my life. I just don't overshare. I'm vulnerable when I need to get the payoff from being vulnerable.
I'm processing. I think that's exactly it.
There's a difference between being vulnerable and oversharing.
But in myself, a year ago, whenever I was doing this, I don't think I was oversharing. Because you know, you meet those people that say, oh, I'm an oversharer.
Yeah, and it's like, shut up.
It's like, honestly, shut up.
Like,
yeah.
You've already annoyed me. It's like, that's... You're already in my bad books.
Like, that cannot be your personality. Like, shut. To be honest,
well,
shut
just,
up.
You're just clawing on something you heard on the internet. Let me guess, you've never seen Game of Thrones either. Like, that's not a personality trait.
You hate the last season. Okay, we get
it. We get it.
We both like that.
I love it.
To be honest, Game of Thrones, you can't do me wrong, to be honest.
Oh, no, never. Anything where Sophie Turner's involved, you can't.
To be honest, I didn't hear good things about Dark Phoenix.
X-Men, yeah, I heard bad things about that.
So Sophie Turner, you can't do me wrong.
But I heard she was quite good in it. I heard she was the best thing about it, which is quite good.
Mm, that is good.
Good for her.
My queen of the North.
Honestly, my queen, my priestess. Anyway, there's a difference between vulnerability and oversharing.
Being an oversharer. And I say, if you identify as an oversharer, you are talking too much. No one likes an oversharer. That's a difficult
If you
place.
Are an oversharer, do you like being an oversharer? I think that's what's important. Is it serving you? I can't imagine really that it is.
I can't imagine your friends are thanking you.
I can't imagine that you're thanking you, because surely things are coming back to you, and surely you're not being productive in your communication. If you're just mm-hmm. sharing and sharing for the mm-hmm. sake of sharing
yeah.
with no payoff for anybody, what's the point? Just be quiet.
It's almost quite like scheming, because you are being productive in your communication, because the thing you want is just me time the me world.
Yeah.
A wee me.
The wee. Bum 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 ding 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 da 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 da. Bum 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 da 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 da.
I'm trying. Do, 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 do. I don't know what that. Do, 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 oh my god! Why do you know?
Because I use it on memes all the time.
I was freestyling. I was like bam bam bam.
I'm like reading the lyrics.
And the lyrics are bam bam bam.
Dunk dunk dunk. Ding ding ding.
I was honestly freestyling in that.
Sounds like you're saying you wouldn't believe I was freestyling. That's good. So can you give me an example of you, though?
Of me?
Yeah, just like...
Oversharing.
Yeah, or just...
What... I don't like this narrative of me
No,
being
no, that's what I mean. Yeah, not an example of you oversharing, as in what's... I know you're not an oversharer.
No, but so... also I think there's a difference between... 100%. There's almost three... There's kind of... Okay, I've got a spectrum going on right now.
Yeah.
At one end, there is an oversharer. At one end, there is an Erin.
Me?
You're kind of like, I don't share.
Oh, what the fuck is that? Is it an Erin? Okay,
an Erin.
Yeah. That's me.
So I would say I'm kind of... I'm close to the end of oversharing, but there's a sweet spot in the middle.
Mm.
Neither me nor Erin is close to this spot.
Yeah.
To be honest, you're not even one end, you're kind of half in
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, I'm not having any issues with where I am.
No, exactly.
Let's it's make actually working quite well.
The spectrum's going even larger. So at one end there's an overshare, at one end there's little silent girl.
Yeah.
Erin's closer to one little silent lamb girl.
Than I am to oversharing.
And there's oversharing.
I would say I'm pretty close to the centre.
Let me think.
If you're doing overshare to someone silent, I would say I'm pretty close to the middle, because I know when to speak. I know when it's appropriate to give what I need to give.
I'd like to hear a little more.
Well, for example, I would share anything with you because I know it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
I would share what I can on the podcast because I know it's worthwhile to people listening. And I am always, even if it's not conscious about where I'm sharing, what is conscious is I think before I speak.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I go to speak, I think, is this productive, not just for me, but for everybody else?
With intention.
Yeah, which am I is speaking it? With intention? Yeah. So I think I am quite close to the middle. If your spectrum is oversharer and silent girl, I'm not an oversharer and I'm not a silent girl.
No, you're
and
not.
And nothing I'm doing with my communication is going wrong for me. So I think I'm all right. Oh my God!
You're fine, you beat communication.
I beat it.
I've got
my condom on.
Yeah, you've got your interpersonal condom on.
Well, it is what it is. But I think what I'm doing isn't going wrong for me. Right, so
The only thing at risk at the other end.
Yeah, so that the silent girl.
The risk is that you don't get any friendships.
Yeah, the name in itself is like...
It's not good. You're internalising. And you, that's not, obviously not you. And that is a difficult place to be. But the oversharer as well, that's kind of like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, and you're not an oversharer.
No. I don't...
So that's why I want an example of like, what... Do you know what I mean? Like, what are you trying to... What are you drawing the boundary on? Where are you drawing the line?
So my new boundary in terms of is to do with communication with people who are close to me. So...
Me included.
No. So my boundary that I'm talking about is to do with communication, and that's why I bring this up, this oversharing thing.
Yeah.
And it's more specifically with one particular person that I'm trying to not cut a tie in any way. This is the thing. But
no, you're
just
kind of doing it to progress the relationship.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I cannot continue this relationship if I keep sharing the things that are required to share in friendship. So I am kind of...
But I don't want to lose you.
Yeah. I'm not willing to lose that relationship. So I'm kind of having to self-narrate or speak with intention, purpose, productivity to be able to manage that relationship. Because every single time I say, it's the thing of, you're happy when I say something that's gone wrong, but every single time I say something that's gone right, you're not happy for me. And it's not that you're not happy for me, you actually want to tear it down, which isn't something I'm willing to do. And
that's when toxicity comes in, I think.
It does, but that's a whole
other
thing.
That's a whole new podcast.
Because also it's like, it's so minor at the moment that it hasn't reached the toxicity stage yet. It's not toxic yet.
Defo.
It's just this one thing has to be tweaked, which is a shame, but this person just is not ready to do that self-work yet. They're just nowhere
near. I think that's what's important, because you've identified that that person is not in a position to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's two ways when you're, I think, thinking about, okay, it's come up to you that you need to create a boundary of some sort with somebody, maybe in particular, and there might be two ways to go about it. This way, where you realize that you have to withdraw something from the relationship, whether that be your time, your energy, your words, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The other part is communicating, and like communicating effectively. And I think in this situation, you're right, it's not something, sometimes that's just the way it goes in life. Sometimes there are things, the politics doesn't allow for you to bring things up. It just doesn't, because the person isn't ready to hear it. And that's nothing on you not being ready to say it. If they're not ready to hear it, they're not ready to hear it. You said what you said, now go.
Yeah, literally.
And that's all you can do, and that's fine.
But we've had this as well. I was just thinking in terms of hire. We've had this with
me and
people.
You.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Oh, I was gonna say between us.
Imagine, I'm actually withholding major information.
I'm in a situation that could potentially harm me.
No, me and you in one team, let's say.
Yeah.
As usual.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So me and you have had it with people that we know, where we've decided between us that we're going to withhold things that are to do with hire, because...
Oh my God, you know what it is? If anyone's listened to Hamilton, or even better, seen it, it's so the Aaron Burr, and I think I am a bit of an Aaron Burr, because he says that he's such a Libra.
Aaron Burr, sir.
Yeah, and he says
I'm getting nervous, sir.
Fully, I'm getting nervous, sir. He says something basically along the lines of, every time you show your opinion, that's free ammunition to your enemies. Every time you give anything out, anything, any opinion, any stance, any perspective, any truth about yourself and your experience, you are allowing anybody, friend or foe, to take that on and use it as ammunition if they want to, and they might. And that's just a truth, I think, that we have to accept with the world. That's just
even
how
if
it
you
is.
Share, yeah, that's the thing. Even if you share something with your closest person, that can come back at you.
Yeah.
Like, it can. And I think that should not be a case. I'm in no way making a case that you shouldn't share.
No, because that's the thing. I think I'm happy to share anything with you. At a romantic moment, should we hold hands? I'm happy to share anything with you. And in whatever facet of my life that might come back at me, that's all right, because I knew it was the right thing to do to share something that was true to me with one of my closest friends. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
And but I don't have a problem with that. But if it would be, if I knew, I said something and I actually said that to them, I knew I shouldn't have said that.
Well, you
to them.
Didn't phrase it right. One of the things I do is I phrase it all wrong. I just completely phrase it wrong. So are we trying to get, me and Erin will both be trying to get the same point across to different people. Erin's will come out as men. Mine will come out as kind of, I love my life, it's so exciting. And they'll go, oh, okay. Like you could say to someone, oh God, things are going really well with hire at the moment, blah, 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 this is happening, this is happening.
You know what it is? It's about leaving just enough to the imagination where, and maybe this is about something about being a woman and when, or even something about being British and like, you don't want to be seen like you're trying, you don't want to be seen like you're achieving anything.
Yeah.
But it's almost, you set up, things are going X, Y, and Z with hire, and you leave it in their imagination that things are going well. You haven't told them things are going well, but it's all there for them to infer.
Whereas I'll tell you...
I'll give you numbers.
Oh yeah, I'll get the stats out. Do you want to see? Like, I'm so loving the stats. Do you want to see the stats? Do you want to see the money we made? Like, it's quite...
Exactly, yeah.
It was like, do you want to see the events we're going to? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. People don't want to see that because it does heighten.
Well,
I don't know. Yeah.
What I think it is if you came to me and said, Hire Priestess has got this numbers, I'm doing this event, it's going X, Y, and Z well, I will, in my mind, interpret that as, okay, well, you've given me the best stuff, so I'm going to take it down a notch and think it can't be really that good. Whereas if I go to someone and say, oh, well, Hire Priestess, you know, it's done this thing, you know, we've got some few things coming up in the future, so it's actually been quite good, you know, for the time being, like, things are working out, so we're just going to see how it goes. In your imagination now, you're already thinking, fuck, they're really onto something here. This is really, do you know what I mean? This is growing. This is bigger than I thought it was. And I didn't have to tell you anything. I was steering you in the wrong direction, like the manipulative little Libra that I am. am.
That's the thing. I can't steer. I don't want to steer. I just want to tell you the facts.
Yeah, but if you say to me, for example, if you were running your little lemonade stand,
yeah,
and you made 50 quid, yeah, and you said to me, oh my God, I made £49.50 today, I would then, in my mind, then I have it all here.
Oh, you only sold 20 lemonades.
Well, yeah, I can say, okay, well, you sold 20 lemonades. You spent £10 on the lemonade already, so you're already £10 down. You spent £15 on the store, so that takes off another £15. Mm. It was 8 hours of your time to do it, and it took another day to set it up. So actually, you're working at a loss. And you didn't tell me that, but I've managed to infer it from whatever it was that, yeah, you gave me. And in your mind, you gave me the facts, but I am dealing with my perception of you, and I know that I can work the facts and fill in the blanks, and I can take you down a notch, and it's just that easy.
We're learning every day on this podcast.
Yeah.
Every day, lesson.
Just be careful. Just be careful, guys. You control your perception. Others will have a perception of you, and sometimes the public perception of you can be very far from your reality, and that can be good or bad. But you can do what you can to manage your public perception.
Isn't this funny? Because we were having a conversation. We were saying, isn't it annoying when YouTubers say, oh my God, I'm going to have videos to look back on in, yeah, years to come. And we're saying, but really it is nice that we're going to have all these podcasts to look back on and, yeah, see how our thoughts have changed and blah, 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 blah. But it's like, if I had made this podcast 6 months ago, I would be the advocate for share everything, speak your truth, be authentic, be you openly and to everyone. That has always been my philosophy.
You'd be getting a very different podcast.
Problem-free philosophy, honestly.
Yeah.
Hakuna Matata.
Don't make me sing.
What's the matter with you? But genuinely, that has been my what's the motto with you. It has been, yeah, share everything, be you, tell everyone. That's fine. From you especially, I've learned, maybe
Well, that's the thing. I don't want it to be that I'm telling you to keep quiet because
No. I do still advocate for being authentic at 100%. All times.
100%. That is just hyper-stress to a T. Be like, authentic. You just have, yeah, to be yourself. Be openly you.
But then it's also like, what is self? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like, there's a whole can of worms there.
Like, are you real?
It's like, I actually don't believe in the self. But, yeah. But when you're sharing information, problem-free, like, you have no condom, you've stealthed the whole thing. Yeah. You're honestly sharing left, right, and centre. Do not expect people with their own insecurities, their own problems, yeah, to use that information how it would intend them to.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. The narrative of the world in your mind,
mm-hmm,
is very different, unfortunately, to the reality. And, you know, constantly we're reminded that things don't work out the way that we want them to, or people aren't following our scripts that we set up for them.
Yeah.
People will just not follow the character specification that you've set out for them. They're their, yeah, own person, and they don't have your best intentions at heart, probably.
Yeah, I don't believe they do. Most of them, the majority of people, I think that's also it. That's a boundary, a new one.
Yeah.
Not assuming the best in everyone. Yeah. That's honestly a thing. And it's bleak as fuck, but it's also fucking real as fuck.
But it's really real and true. And I actually think in learning that not everyone has the best intentions at heart, through all of this, like, critical thinking, it sounds negative at the time, but through that learning, it's incredibly liberating. And actually you learn that your life can actually be full of, like, actual genuine love, because you haven't been wasting your time on people that, you know, is vapid. It doesn't mean anything.
I think that's it. I think that's why critical thinking, or kind of restructuring your self-perceptions, everything we're trying to do here, but restructuring your self-perceptions, like challenging your insecurities, everything that we're doing here at Higher Priestess, it sounds scary. It's like, shit, it's a load of work, it's scary, it means I have to look at my relationship and think, oh, did I do this, did I say this, why am I waiting for this?
Yeah, you're gonna have to be uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable, but it's also literally a door to just so much.
I love it
so much more.
A door to more.
It's a door.
Who wouldn't want a door to more?
There's ice cream shops behind that door.
I adore two more.
J'adore la door. La door. But literally, there's ice cream shops behind there. Yeah, there's a red Ferrari. Parties. Snow cone party every day.
Oh, no.
Hope all these references
are not paying off. Yeah. But they are between us. It's fine. Something else I wanted to talk about as well is how I think, and I'm sure you agree.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure you agree. To be honest, it's not even worth saying. Forget it.
Cancel the podcast.
Just cancel it. I'm sure we all agree. I was thinking, boundaries harder to set up for women than men.
Go on.
Women are expected to be everything for everyone.
Yes.
Men are allowed to say no.
Yeah.
Are allowed to be the boss. Are allowed to put themselves first.
Yeah.
Are allowed to focus on their own lives, their own hobbies, spend time with themselves, spend time with their friends, not worry about this, not worry about that, make money. Do what you want. Women is like, oh God, you're like breastfeeding, you're like wiping your nan's like chin, she's got dementia, like You're like yeah. doing a whole thing. You're but, like yeah. filing your papers, you're the... filing your divorce papers, you're doing God knows what.
And let's
God
hope you
who.
Have good hair and you've got acrylic nails on as well, because
God
your nails are looking...
not.
You've put... Also, by the way, you're putting on weight.
Did we mention that?
Because you're aging quite a bit as well, rapidly.
Yeah, you're looking
Get
rough.
Some moisturiser on. Buy this really expensive
yeah,
moisturiser.
Yeah, buy this £100 moisturiser.
Also, your child's failing at school. Do you want to come in for a parents' evening? It's just like,
Yeah, it's a bit much. And yeah. is there time really to say sorry, actually? I was going to say Madame Hooch.
I want an ice cream game from all of you.
I was going to say, sorry, Madame Hooch, I can't come in and speak to you about my child.
Up.
But true, like, up. Are you going to say to your kids' teachers... Sorry, I'm actually setting some boundaries at the moment, so I'm going to take some time for myself. So when Billy starts playing up, just don't mention it to me, that's fine. Yeah. I'm actually not in a situation where I'm ready to hear information that will potentially harm me.
Yeah, literally. Isn't it funny that no means no is just something we're learning in the last, like, 5 years?
Yeah.
Like, for women, especially, as in rape
culture. I saw something
culture.
Today that yeah. said, don't say maybe when you mean no.
So how are we just learning this?
Yeah.
How is this...
Exactly. It's like the most simple. I heard this thing earlier. I saw it. It said, don't say maybe when you mean no.
Oh my God.
Life changing.
But there will be people that go,
yeah,
oh
me.
Shit.
Me. I was actually like, fuck yeah, I always say maybe when it's actually no.
But I say, sometimes say maybe. Because,
yeah, it depends.
Because in your situation with your family member, say yeah. maybe. Say maybe and mean no.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah, yeah,
say
yeah.
Say maybe, mean no. It's a clear communication from you.
Well, here you go. It's all down to your discretion then, isn't it?
Well, it's all down to context. It's
yeah.
like, it's not as simple as a blanket statement of just say no when you don't say maybe, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, don't say
yeah.
that.
It's
go.
Like, say what's right for you in your scenario.
Yeah.
And that's just it.
You don't need to have... that. This is
you
the
know
thing
what
that aren't
is?
Clean,
it's
clear-cut
feel
rules.
Feel okay about saying no.
Yeah.
Feel okay about saying maybe.
Feel okay about saying yes.
Yeah.
Feel okay about it all, guys.
Feel about saying what you need to say when you need to say it, to protect yourself, to serve yourself, to progress yourself,
yeah.
to move on.
With what you were saying about women and no, I mean, with rape culture, it's such a no means no, that's a whole thing, like the thing we're only learning. That was on adverts like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
They had to have adverts for that.
Yeah.
But also, I was listening to Oprah's podcast, my queen.
Yeah.
I love her. No one come for Oprah, although do slightly, she's got issues. But
yeah.
She's problematic, but we love her. She was on a podcast and Reese Witherspoon was on the podcast.
Right.
Because they were in a film together called A Wink in Time or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
A Wrinkle in
a
Time.
A Wrinkle in Time. A Wrinkle in Time.
A Blink in Time. called A Wrinkle in Time. This is not a promo.
And now we would like to talk to you about today's sponsor, a movie that came out 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's like this whole movie that no one really saw from 2 years ago. It was called A Wrinkle in Time. I saw it, didn't love it, but I listened to a podcast where Reese Witherspoon was on Oprah's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Soul Sundays or something like
that. Fucking hell. Jesus. All right, yeah.
And Reese was saying, there's this whole book.
Saying, we know where to find her. If we just go, if we just type in Oprah, it's coming up. Yeah.
I actually, I got the name wrong as well. But so Reese Witherspoon was saying, there's this whole thing, it's like, say yes, say yes, say yes. And she was thinking, no, I just want to say no. And as women, you're expected to take every opportunity because things are stacked against you, as we already know. If we're still working on that as a basic fact, leave now.
Yeah.
You're still working against the clock, essentially,
yeah.
all the time. And against things are stacked against you, against the tide, basically.
Mm.
And for us to say no to any opportunity that's thrown our way is seen as crazy. It's like, you can't say no. You've got to say yes to everything. But it's like, actually, you know what? I can't fucking go out tonight. I can't fucking do that thing.
I can't commit to this, I can't commit to that.
Mm.
I'm not just going to be wearing myself thin, but I'm going to do a disservice to whatever work that is needing to be happening.
Yeah.
So let's just be honest and call it quits.
But is this our worst thing ever? Is this quote-unquote self-care?
Yeah, it's self-care. Part of self-care, we've said this many a time, is doing the uncomfortable shit that you don't want to do. And saying no can be really uncomfortable. Setting boundaries, really uncomfortable. What is it you don't learn in your comfort zone? You need
yeah,
to be uncomfortable to progress. Anything good or anything worth learning that you've had in your life has probably come from you being slightly out of your depth. And you
I
look what
it.
You did. You just got on with it. Well
yeah,
done.
You had
props
to do
to
it.
You
grew.
Yeah.
It's called evolution.
Look at you go.
It's called Darwinism.
Yeah.
Learn it.
Learn it.
So with like uncomfortable feelings within the idea of setting boundary, I think one emotion that's at the forefront of the spectrum of emotions that you'd feel while setting boundaries is guilt.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
I completely agree, because yeah, it's that thing of like, it's almost not okay to say that you're doing anything for yourself, especially if you're a young woman.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you should be, well, no, you should be working for free. It's all about the hours. It's all about getting your name out. Yeah. Mm. It's all, you know, you should really do that for them because, you know, you owe them one or whatever. Mm. And sometimes, no, it is about you. It's about what you want.
And what you can do.
What you can handle. Yeah. Fuck everyone else. I'm getting a bit sick of everyone else.
That's not the advice. Fuck them. That's not the advice.
This seems to be my theme at the end of the podcast. We just get really angry.
Well, in the catcalling one, that we...
Getting fumed.
We were getting angry. Like, I came away from that feeling a bit shaken up. Oh, I had
shivers. Shiver me timbers.
Honestly, shiver me timbers. My hearty.
I think we can leave it there. I think we've uncovered... God, we've unturned many a stone.
We've gone through the layers. Yeah. The layers and layers of boundaries.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's more to say, but we can...
And also, really, we got into our sort of parents' split, our parents' divorce.
Yeah, I hope you... Maybe you guys should set up a boundary with us. Like, we're just, like, dumping all of our childhood trauma on you.
Or should we create a boundary of, why are we sharing so much on podcast? Anyone could be listening.
Literally, anyone can access.
Anyone can access this.
I think it's been worthwhile. But I think it's been worthwhile. I've definitely learned things. I hope you guys have learned things. Or had fun in the process.
I really hope so. I think we're learning more and more as these go on.
Oh, we learn as we go. This has definitely been one of my favourite ones.
Yeah, this just kind of poured out of us.
Yeah. There's a lot to say. I mean, we could definitely go again. I think why
it's pouring is because we're still learning.
Oh, for sure.
It's raining, it's pouring. The old man is snoring.
Big time.
Yeah, and he should set some fucking boundaries.
Yeah, I love
that.
It.
He went to bed and bumped his head. Vinegar and brown... No, that's Jack and Jill. And brown paper. But I think that's Jack and Jill.
I was rhyming boundaries with brownies.
And I was like, no, brown paper.
What's that? He went to bed.
No, wait. It's raining, it's pouring. The old man is snoring. He went to bed and bumped his head and didn't get up until the morning. What's vinegar and brown paper?
I don't know.
That's Jack and Jill.
Yeah, but Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water.
He bumped his head
and
wrapped it in vinegar and brown.
No, I don't think that's true. Wait. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Something happened.
He dropped the pail and went
down.
Really
he fell.
Okay, so it's Jack
a
and Jill went
up. Reading of Jack and Jill.
So Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. Jack got up and home did trot as fast as he could caper. He went to bed to mend his head with vinegar and brown paper.
Well, that's never going to work. And I'll bet you any money Jill had to clean up after him.
Jill's running after him. Sorry, Jack, can I get you anything?
You're pale.
She fell down too. She came tumbling after.
Yeah, she came tumbling after him. He
said nothing
about
her brown paper.
Aye.
He downed the vinegar.
He's used all the resources for himself and left poor Jill with nothing.
Jill set some boundaries. You stupid idiot.
There we go.
So leave us a review, guys. Go, even if you're listening on Spotify, go over to Apple, leave us a 5-star review. It takes 30 seconds. If you understand technology, it takes 30 seconds.
Yeah, I would hope you do, guys.
It took me a minute.
If you don't
to
understand
work
technology,
out.
You're not gonna understand boundaries. That's
well,
just it.
Yeah, you're done for. You're absolutely done
for. You're toast.
For. But leave us a review. Share this your story. We love it. We're getting you what I love the most is getting a selfie of you guys saying that you're listening to Highbury Stairs. I die. Every
not
time.
A day goes by where you guys don't break my heart.
Genuinely. I live in a permanent state of heartbreak. It's not going well.
And that's where we're ending this,
we
I
should
guess.
Set some boundaries.
Thank
time.
You guys so much for listening.
We're ending on I live in a permanent state of heartbreak
because of you.
Bye. Right, thank you so much, guys.
Love you lots. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig.
Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.